ado, I'd like to welcome to this microphone Pastor Julius Mwangi to come and minister to us. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. The first time I'm hearing the pastor calling me Julius Mwangi. So, thank you. You know, every time I share the word of God, I take it very seriously because it takes not just your mind, but it takes your spirit as well. You know, it takes going through the scriptures and asking God, what is it that you want me to share with your people today? And, you know, it's an indulgence. You get yourself soaked inside there and ask, you know, you keep on having that conversation, you know, God, what is it that you want me to tell your people? And sometimes you've had ministers come and say that, you know, they prepared a sermon, but when they came to stand here, it kind of like goes and God gives another sermon and it's okay. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we are God's people, we are God's creation, and God's purpose is what he wants to communicate with us today. That has not happened to me today. The sermon that I prepared is what I believe that I will deliver. But I offer myself before God that God may use me as a vessel to deliver a message for his people. Praise the name of Jesus. Many of us, you know, to this country, maybe from other countries or to this state, from other states. And every time you locate, there is a goal and there is a vision that you have. You there is something that you prayed, I believe. And if you didn't pray, you hoped, you know, that God, when I go there, will you open doors for me? But as you've reached to that state, or as you reached Texas, or as you reached America, or whatever your point of entry was, maybe things didn't happen the way you wanted them to be. Maybe things didn't, you know, start, you know, unrolling the way that you had expected them. And we can even simplify that even further and say that even when you went to school or you went to college and you prayed and you contemplated and you knew this is the degree that I want to do, but as you went for your first class or maybe the orientation and then you went for your first class, you started wondering, is this where I'm supposed to be enrolled? Because things are just passing, you know, so fast. You're wondering whether you'll be able to get anything at the end of the semester. I want to encourage you and tell you that you're not alone. And I want to let you know that the God who sent you, the God who spoke to you to be where you are, he has not abandoned you. If you have a neighbor, would you tap your neighbor and tell them, be still? Our text today is Exodus chapter 14, verse 11 to 13. Exodus chapter 14, verse 11 to 13. And I'm going to read from the New Revised Standard Version. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone and let us serve the Egyptians, for it should have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. But Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. And then verse 14, the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still. Spirit of God, we want to invite your presence to our midst today. And as our hearts are pounding and wandering in different places, our thoughts are in different locations, I appeal and I urge you, O Spirit of God, that you may still us, that we may be here in the moment and hear what you have for us. Lord, if there is anything that is troubling anybody today, something that concerns them and feels that I just need God, I need God in this situation, I pray that, Spirit of God, you may still them at the moment. In your name we pray. Amen. So we know where the Egyptians are. They have reached to that destination. They have reached to that place. There are challenges. And they are fearing if something does not happen, we are going to be dragged back to Egypt. Now the thing is that why are we here in the first place? Why are we even struggling here? Shouldn't we have just remained in Egypt? They lamented among themselves. What is Moses doing in our lives? Why did we even listen to him? Why did we even agree that he should take us out of this place? What even are we doing here? Shouldn't we be in Egypt eating our pumpkins and whatever else that we should be doing and enjoying life out there? Why should we have allowed him to talk us out of Egypt? Now, just to know where the Egyptians were up to that point, first of all, a few things to remember. These were not all the Egyptians. It's not all the Egyptians that left Egypt when they were asked to leave. Some were left. History proves that majority of them actually were left. Historians tell us it's only a fifth of the Israelites who actually left Egypt. The second thing that you realize is that it is after 430 years of captivity. 430 years of captivity. Do the math. So what it means, it is not the original Israelites that were being released. It is generations after generations after generations after generations. So what must have happened? People forgot where they came from. People forgot who they are. And let me pose a question right now and ask ourselves, for those of us that are here, have we forgotten who we are? Because we've been in this country and we forgot the God that we served from our countries, the God that we were taught by our parents to serve. Have we for a moment forgotten who that God is? Are we saying that because we are in a different location that we cannot remember the God that we serve? And that is why it is so hard for us to commit ourselves to ministry. That is why it is so hard for us to commit ourselves to serve God in whichever capacity. Have we forgotten God because of our location, change in location? Have we forgotten because we do not have our families together? Have we forgotten who we are? But it was a journey. It didn't just start with a day. In Exodus chapter 3, you will remember, God approaches this man called Moses. Moses is taking care of his business. He's looking after his sheep, the cattle, and all that stuff that are taken care of. These are Jethro's, his father-in-law. He was a very good man. He's taking care of his father-in-law's business. And then an angel comes from nowhere, comes and starts talking to him, and Moses is still taking care of his business. And then when Moses doesn't pay attention, a bush starts burning. So Moses, being a shepherd, goes to find out, what is this now that is happening where I'm taking care of this? And by the way, the Bible says that it was in a desert. So he's taking care of sheep in a desert. And I was asking myself, does this sheep eat sand? What do they, cactus? What do they eat? But it's the Bible, but it says that it was in a desert. So, and then there is a bush. And the bush is burning. And he goes. And then a voice comes up and says, hey, the place that you're standing is holy. Don't get in here. Remove your shoes and all that things. And so Moses is wondering, what is happening around here? But he goes on. And then there's a liturgy of things that start happening one by one. He is told about the children of Israel. Moses was born in Israel. So he understands the story. He may not understand the whole story because it's a different generation, but he knows the story. And the voice tells him that I'm going to deliver my people and I'm going to use you. And Moses says, hey, wait a minute. I don't even have the vocabulary. I can't even speak. I think you chose the wrong guy. Maybe it's the other guy. And the voice kept on saying, I will arm you. I will equip you for the work that I want you to do. It is you that I have appointed. And so Moses eventually accepts. He says, oh, you know, I also stammer. He says, don't worry. I have given you your brother Aaron. And then in chapter 4, as Moses is equipped, he's given his rod. He becomes a magic rod now, so that he can, you know, throw it down and becomes a serpent. So are you still with me? You remember the story? That's why I want to go quickly, but I want us to make sure that we get the beginning of where all these things started. And then in chapter 5, Moses already travels to Egypt. And he goes and he meets with Pharaoh. And he tells, God told me to tell you to let his people go. Now let's pause there for a moment. This is somebody Pharaoh has not seen before. Moses had not seen before. And he comes and tells Pharaoh that God has told me to tell you that let his people go, so that they may worship him. And, you know, if you pause for a moment and ask yourself, so what went through Pharaoh's mind? He must have said, you know, I have heard of many madmen in Egypt, but this one surpasses them all. I don't even know who this person is. He did not even send an advance party. He just comes and insists that he wants to see the Pharaoh, and when I give him a chance, this is the message that he comes and tells me that he wants to set his people free. Fast forward. Things start happening one after the other, and the Pharaoh resists any urge to set free the children of Israel. In chapter 6, God has a message to the children of Israel that he has heard their groaning and he has remembered his covenant. Tell them, I am the Lord and will bring you out of bondage. I will redeem you. I will bring you to a land I promised to give to your father Abraham. But the children of Israel in the first place are not even interested. So there was a disconnection. There is a deliverer here from God who is urging and pleading for them and says, set those people free. But the people themselves don't want to be set free. We are okay here. We are okay here in Egypt. We are enjoying what we are doing. And the workload is being increased. And they are being tormented. And the hardship is increasing. I'm saying we are okay here. But the reason why they were okay is because they did not know any other life. They had no other experience. It is okay that we are here. It is okay that we are doing what we are doing. In chapter 7 and 8, the plagues start. The rod becomes a serpent. The frogs start filling the entire Egypt. The lice, came, and everywhere people are scratching, lice bites, swarm of flies. But Pharaoh would not listen to let the people of God go. In chapter 9, the hand of God was upon all cattle, the horses, the asses, the camels, and the oxen, and the sheep. All were killed except those that belonged to the Israelites. But the Pharaoh would still not release the children of Israel. In chapter 10, the plague of the locusts, at this time Pharaoh's servants were pleading with Pharaoh. Pharaoh, for how long? Just let these people go. They are making us suffer. Why should we suffer because of these people? Let them go. But Pharaoh would not change. Finally, in chapter 11, the last plague, where the firstborns in Egypt were killed. And this is where now the rubber meets the road, and Pharaoh starts thinking, this thing has gone a little bit too far. In chapter 12, they observe the Passover, and finally in chapter 13, the children of Israel are set free. But these people, even as they are set free, and already in chapter 3, God had already told Moses of his strategy, of his plan. This is what I want to do for the children of Israel. When the time comes for them to leave Egypt, they shall borrow from their neighbors. They shall borrow from the Egyptians. It just didn't happen in chapter 13. It happened as it was prophesied, as God has spoken in Exodus and chapter 3. And what came to my mind is that the way God starts with you, he tells you, this is what I will do for you. But he did not tell you what is going to be in between. Does it surprise you that David in Psalms 23 says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. He knows that's not the end. Right now, I'm in the valley of death. Right now, I'm in torment. Right now, I'm in lack. Right now, I'm in pain. But it is temporary. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For your presence, you are still with me. You are still with me. It is God who had commanded David. So there was a destination to be reached. But in the process of that destination, there is a valley of death. I don't know whether there is anybody today who is in that valley of death, a valley of torment, a valley of lack, a valley of torment, a valley of toiling. Do not be afraid. I shall be with you. And that's why I wanted to keep reemphasizing that text in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 14. The Lord will fight for you. Just be still. Just be still. And let's ask ourselves what happens when people are not still. When you're not still, you are everywhere. You're looking for solutions. You're getting advice from people. You're being told what to do. You're doing things even before you've processed them in your mind. Because you are not still. Every advice that you receive is a good advice. Every place you're told to go, you are going. When a minister comes and tells you to go and eat grass, you say, where is the grass? You are ready for it. Because you are not still. But when you are still, that confidence starts coming back. I can do this. I can do this. This is possible. This is possible. But when you are not still, even fear crops in. What if I don't do what I'm being told? What if I wait too long? And that's why you find that sometimes, for those of you that are swimmers, if somebody is drowning, you don't just dive and start saving him. You're going to drown both of you. you first of all let that person exhaust himself. When the person is still, that is the time to rescue him. Many, many years ago, my father and I decided that we are going to till our land. It was over the summer, towards the end of the summer. And so my dad decided where he wanted us to, you know, burn the bushes, thistles and thickets. And we were two farmers, you know, with hats and all. We were ready for it. So my dad got the kibiriti and lit the fire. Do you know the fire went out of control? And the two of us didn't know what to do. We were cutting trees. Now, it was taking longer to cut the trees than to control the fire. The fire was going to our neighbor's house on that side. The fire was going to our neighbor's house on the other side. And we were holding our hands. What are we going to do? Something that started so easily now is completely out of our control. You know, you wonder where my hair went. But we struggled. We struggled and we went and we tried anything that we could. We called for help from everywhere, from our neighbors. Help, help, help. Until eventually that fire was in control. But you know, when you are still, there is a voice that you hear. And that voice is not loud. It's a voice that is within you. The Rendile in Kenya, they say that it's when your intestines are talking to you. That you've not heard anything until when your intestines start talking. When your intestines talk, then you hear, and they are never wrong. A Rendile will tell you that if you're going somewhere and your intestines tell you don't go, don't go. For us who are Christians, we say it is just the Spirit of God ministering to you. For those in other areas, they say it's the guts. Whatever it is. But there is something that is within you that tells you don't do it. But you can only hear that voice when you are still. And when you're not still, you receive every advice. When you're not still, you do mistakes after mistakes after mistakes. For those of you that are in business, you know this, that if you're not still, if you start responding to every crisis that comes in, you're going to crash. You will crash. But when you stand back and say, let me see where this is going to end, and then you pick it up from there, you'll actually do a better job than when you're trying to firefight something that is falling. Are we still together? So when God leads you, or when God directs you and tells you where he's taking you, he's only giving you two things: where you are going from and where you're going to reach. He does not tell you about you in the middle, what is going to happen. And that's the time when we get exhausted. That is when we get frustrated. That is when we get tired and we're saying, for how long? Maybe I misheard. Maybe the answer was for Pastor Tony, not for me. That was not my answer. You know, we start looking at other things and say, so-and-so is doing this and they're doing so well. So-and-so is, I'm going to try also. But that was not for you. And you try it and it doesn't work out right. The children of Israel, in Jeremiah chapter, I believe it's chapter 12 and verse 4, going downwards there, the Lord is lamenting to them and he's telling them that, you people, I got you out of Israel. And out of Egypt, and I had a land for you, and you had fruits, you had everything that was ready for. I gave you the land, and there was plenty of food for you to eat. But you came and plundered everything else. What did you do in return? You looked for a god, and you found Baal, and you started worshiping Baal. They forgot who they were. The moment you forgot who you are, the moment you look at your destination and say, "Oh, that's so far. While it tarries, I'm going to look for Baal." How many of us are looking for Baal today? How many of us have lost our direction? How many of us have detoured? And I said, this journey has gone for so long. I'm not going to continue this. Temporarily, I'm going to look for Baal. Now, when I say Baal, it sounds so bad. So maybe, how many of us have detoured and are doing other different things than what God actually calls for? And God is asking, he's pleading and he says, return. I still have a plan for you. Return. I still have a plan for you. My message to us today is that as the Lord tarries, do not detour. Do not forget who you are. Do not forget that he spoke to you at that time when you are still a Christian and born again. That is when he spoke to you. He may have taken long. When God spoke to Abraham and told Abraham that you're going to be a father of many nations, he didn't tell him that it's going to take over 25 years. And in the meantime, you know, Abraham and Sarai, they said, man, this thing is taking too long. This God's plan, they're taking too long. Let's strategize. Maybe we can use our own effort and get our own child. You know what happened? I believe with all my heart that when God opens a door for you and tells you this is where I'm leading you, even though he might not tell you what that journey may entail, he'll still walk with you. He says, be still. Be still. Some of us may have stopped a course that you started because you're saying, this is too much for me. Maybe I misheard. This is not my calling. Be still. Don't do anything in a hurry. Be still. Because when you're still, you'll hear that voice from God. And it is directing you. Maybe it is that GPS that is telling you it's recalculating. You need to go back. You need to detour. Go back to the beginning point. That's what Jeremiah says, that when you've lost your way, go back to the beginning point and ask those men of old, which is the right way? And they'll point, this is the way. When they tell you that way, follow ye after it. My challenge to us, are we still, or are we still at that moment when we feel that the bottom has fallen and we are wondering, what are we going to do? Where are we going to turn to? Be still. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. Even when we feel that we are alone. Even when you feel that, you know, the problem is that we put too much asset value on individuals. We put too much asset value on individuals. Now, being an accountant, I use accounting language. So we think that, you know, if I asked Pastor Tony to do this for me, he did not even come. Or even when he came, he did not even give me anything. And he knew my situation. But he's just a human being. But God is saying that he will be there. He will fight for you. Be still and know that I am God. I think he says in Isaiah. Be still and know that I am God. When you are still at that moment, then your answer will not be from any man. When you see people coming to encourage you, you'll be the one encouraging them. He says, oh, I'm quite right there. I know God has a way designated for me. And I know it is going to work out. I may not see it right now, but I know I'm in the path that he wanted me to be at. So right now, I'm just waiting to move on. I'll keep on moving on. Keep on moving on. You remember this girl who was the father of Ishmael, the mother of Ishmael, when she detoured on her own. And she said, this woman, I'm not going to live here anymore. I am going to go. And she goes. Where does she reach? She reaches a place, an angel sitting by a brook or by a fountain. And the angel asks her, so where are you going? She says, I'm so mad. They're mistreating me. I am so angry. I just want to go back to Egypt. Say, you go back and apologize to Sarah. Just go back. Maybe there are people being told to run. We are too proud to do things the right way. And you're being told, go back. Just go back. Because it's when she returned, and she did not stay there for a moment. She lived there for a while until the child was born, and the child was actually grown, and that's actually when she left. And when she left, she was actually blessed by Abraham. They were actually blessed. They were not just cast out. They were actually blessed as they went out. But now as she was going out, that child would have been born in Egypt and probably with nothing. Let us be still. Let us be still. Because when we are still, we will hear the voice of God. We will hear what God is telling us. And it will give us that comfort, that courage. And sometimes it's not what we want to hear. Everything is so instant for us. We want things happening as fast as we want. But God will take his time. He did not tell us that he's going to leave Farmers Branch today and tomorrow you're going to reach McKinney. That's what we think, but it's going to be a journey. But through that journey, he will walk with you. He says, be still. I will fight for you. I don't know what you're going through in your life today or what you have been going through as a family, but whatever it is that you're going through, my encouragement to you is that do not be troubled. Be still. When you're troubled, you are in conflict with yourself. You don't have any peace within. And you're looking for solutions because the solution that God has given you is not working. But when you're still, you're able to hear from yourself. You're able to energize yourself, to repower yourself, to restart yourself up and say, you know, I have seen God do something in my life. I have heard of testimonies of God doing something in somebody's life. God will work with me. He will fight with me. Am I speaking to somebody today? There's a song that we used to sing that says that, I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. Even when I'm not able to see that way, even when I'm not able to fathom But this way, it's too, there are too many thickets and too many thorns on this way. Yet God says, I will make a way for you. I don't know if I've shared this testimony. I believe I have. I've told this church almost all my stories. So if I've told this story, I'll retell it again. But in the Kenyan, the rains, the El Nino of, not the one for the, not the one you're remembering, of 1990 something, the 90s. The one prior to that, because I think it, you know, it's a cycle of about 10 years. I think it was 1970, maybe 80s. So most of you may not have been born. I was coming from, we used to live in Ngong, and there was only one bus that used to go to the city. The city now in Nairobi. So, and for me to be able to get that bus, I had to wake up at 5 in the morning, walk through the forest for 30 minutes, and then to get to Karen area, and then from Karen area, we're able to get the bus. And this was no big deal. You know, a lot of, you know, guys from, you know, that village used to walk together. So that morning when we were going, one of the gentlemen used to work for the Kenya National Library, he said, hey, and today we leave a little bit early because I heard that there's going to be a lot of rain. I said, okay. Now me, I was the youngest. I completely forgot that it was going to rain, and I decided to go my time. So the time came, went to Kenya bus station, and I'm looking at my people, and there are no people. I am like, it's me alone. It is like 6:30 in the evening. And from the place, those days then, I'm sure nowadays it's like 20 minutes to get there, but those days the bus used to take almost an hour, you know, to go to Karen. So I don't know what to do. It's raining, so I get into the bus. Bus goes, and then I'm still, you know, in the bus, you know, it's full to capacity, and I'm trying to see, you know, see Stephen, you know, Stephen sitting up there. I said, okay. So the bus stopped. And trust me, it was already dark. It was now 7:30, and it was dark. We didn't have flashlights, we didn't have any cell phones, and I didn't have any umbrella. I had a newspaper, and I alighted that place. And the moment you just alight, you are soaked because the rain was so heavy. It was like God was pouring with a cup or with cups. You get soaked almost immediately. So I told myself, you know, here I am. I will walk home just like I'm used to going. So I started going. You know, the paper got, you know, it got so messy. You know, I could see pieces of papers all over me. But there's nothing to do. I mean, I was not going for a fashion show. I was going home. From a distance, I had something like, there are waves. You know, like in Mombasa, when you start approaching the ocean, you know, there's those consistent sounds of waves. And I'm saying, my goodness, what is going on? You know, I had no idea. I could not even imagine what that would be. I said, what could that be? But I walked closer and I walked closer. A small stream that we used to, you know, hop, step, and jump. One step, stone there, and you're done. Had become a massive torrential rain, river. Huge river. The one that I was used to was basically like, you know, just there. This one had literally up there to a place that I stood at a distance and I was asking myself, how do we cross this river? And remember, I'm alone. It's probably now going to 8 o'clock at night. And it is in the forest. But I told myself, if I stay here, there are animals. They will still kill me, they will eat me. If I go there and I fall in the river, I will still die. So either way, I would rather die trying to go home than just sitting here. So I went to the Kayusho Pass, and fortunately, as I went, there was a way that, you know, the vehicles would pass. But I noticed that there's some foot, you know, some like a small path. I could see some people had walked somewhere. And so I walked to where they were. They had created a temporary bridge. So what they have done is that they had cut off, you know, branches from these, I don't know what you call these, this tree that has thorns. But they had made a temporary bridge, you know, tying up with the back skin of the tree. So it was not even that permanent. But it had gone up. I may have been, right now I'm about 5 feet something. So maybe it was about 5 feet even then because I didn't grow much. But it was probably about 6 feet or 7 feet. And then you're supposed to walk, you know, above the water, the water is right there under you, for a distance of maybe about 10 feet, and then go down the same way. So I told myself, there doesn't seem to be a choice, so this is the way that I'm going to use. And so I went there. And honestly, by the time I was reaching there, I had lost all hope of ever getting out of that place alive. And it's not that it mattered. It was like, you know, at least I tried. But the water was rushing, you know, heavily and with such strength. I knew if I landed there, people would see pieces of me all over Ngong or wherever the pieces would be, maybe in Mombasa. When I was, now my heart is beating. I am exhausted. I have no strength. I couldn't even stand, in that temporary bridge for fear of losing my balance. So I was, don't worry how I walked. But I walked to keep myself alive. You know, literally almost dragging myself like a snake through that bridge. If somebody was taking a picture today and putting it on YouTube, I'd be a millionaire. And so as I was coming down through that bridge, finally, I had a voice. Julius, let me tell you, I have never heard my name sound so good. Julius! I tried answering. I couldn't. I was overcome. I was like, who would come looking for me at this time of the night, you know, during the El Nino rains? Who? And I said, Dehaha. It was my dad. My dad had walked almost 7 or 8 miles to come and look for his son. When the Bible says that, be still, I will fight for you. I remember my dad walking through those miles in the rain. And he was a sickly guy. He had his own issues. But for him to decide, he's still not here, let me go and see where he is. And you know, when I went there, he gave me his coat. He needed his coat more than I needed it. But he, you know, I think he looked at me and said, just take this one. And we walked together and he was asking me, so what happened, you know, and I explained to him. But when God says that I will fight for you, that is exactly what he means. That I may not be there right there. I'm encouraging you. I'll be cheering you. But at the end, I'll be there waiting for you. It doesn't matter what you're going through, beloved. It doesn't matter what it seems like right now. It doesn't make any sense. You can't see the end of it right now. But God is still there. He says, I will fight for you. And he says, I will fight for you. It's the kind of fight that he fights and then he stands back and sees you taking all the glory. Isn't God good? Be still, the Bible says. My challenge is that we do not have to put ourselves in bondages. We do not have to put ourselves in temporary shelters because of our situations, because of our circumstances. If God sent us, hence, he will be there for us. And even when things don't work for us right now, let's keep going on. Let's keep going on. Because there is something that God has planted in our lives. There is something that there's a destiny that God has for us. And when it seems that we can't do it anymore, be still. Be still. When you don't have an answer and you thought you knew, be still. Like in the last men's meeting, we say that if you are in debt, it doesn't help to get deeper in debt. You stop digging. Be still. Be still. Just be still. Don't do anything. You're too much in debt. Be still. And then you start realizing, oh, now this is what I need to do. You know, sense starts coming back to your mind. Reasoning starts coming back to your mind. And you're able to work or cooperate with God. But when you're not, you just keep on digging and you're already in debt. You're getting more debts. You're still digging deeper in your hole. You cannot get out of a hole by digging deeper in the hole. You need to stop digging so you can be able to get out of the hole. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 9 says that if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand. If you cannot stand firm in your faith, you cannot stand. And I'm sharing this because I know that in this country there are many, many trials. And they are intensified, particularly for us that are coming to this country when we are grown up, because we don't have a backup system. When something happens, you're on your own. If you're back in Africa and something happens or something goes on, you have a lot of support system. You have your church, you have your family, you have your uncle, you have your auntie, you have the counselor, you have the MP, you have the governor now, you have so many access to get out of that situation that you are in. Here, you try to see the governor that you're in a financial situation, good luck. You try to see the senators that you are in a financial situation, good luck. I think for us as Christians, though, we are better off. Because God orders our footsteps wheresoever we go. Even when things don't make sense, we can declare like David and say that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I still will walk on. I still will walk on until I reach my destiny. And so I'm also challenging those of us that have stopped doing something because we felt that this is not where we wanted to be. Maybe some of you came to this country to go to college. And after 1 year or 2 years, you decided this thing is not working. You're done. I would challenge you. Be still. Be still. You know, I was telling myself that as I was thinking of this message, and I was telling myself, if as many people live in Kenya can come and take advantage of the system here in America, as if it is Kenya, Kenyans would be millionaires, all of them. All of them. But we fear, and we take the narrow way, we take the shorter way, you know, that because you can get a job, you know, $10 an hour, $20 an hour, you know, be promoted, get $25 an hour, it excites us, you know, we get excited, and we forget. But when you came, you had a plan. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. But when you started, it didn't work out. It didn't work out, but you gave up and decided, you know what, I will leave my children to do that. I would challenge you. That dream that you dreamt when you came to this country, rekindle it. Rekindle it. Maybe you've not reached your destiny. Maybe you just got afraid of the things that are there. And I'm imagining somebody like David being anointed to be a king at the age of 13 and then going back to take care of the sheep. And then coming to give food to his brothers, and then he sees this Goliath. He had every reason to say, oh my goodness, this guy is really huge. How would anybody fight this thing? But he decided, Apana, I know who I am. I'm a child of God. You know, you don't mess with Israelites. You don't mess with, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And then that anger, that frustration, he started, you know, working within him, and he knew, I can take this guy down. I will come to him against him in the name of the Lord. I can bring him down, not my strength, in the name of the Lord. I don't know how many giants that could be posing in your journey, and maybe they've made you back off a little bit, like they did to the brothers and the army of Israel then. And they said, oh yeah, this, oh man, just one man. And people backed off. And you know, even after that, the Philistine army, they terrorized Israelites for a long time, terrorized them. And even though they knew that they had won against them, they still backed off and they were afraid. They say, our enemy is the Philistines. Our enemy is the Philistines. How many Philistines have you ran away from? And you're telling yourself, I can't move on. I feel threatened. I feel threatened by the system. I feel threatened by whatever is going on in this country. I feel threatened as an immigrant. If truly it is God who brought you to this country, like Pastor always says, that when you came to this country, you must have prayed. You must have prayed for a visa. You must have prayed for that money, because most of us didn't have a check to just write and come. You must have prayed. And if you sincerely prayed and believed that when you landed there, you said, hallelujah, Lord, thank you for this, then surely the same God, the same God will fight for you. The same God will fight for you. It does not matter. If you feel in your heart that you've not reached where you had envisioned to be, and you know that that's what it is, it's clear in your mind, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep pressing on. Be still. God will fight for you. Any battle that needs to be fought. And at the end of it all, you'll come back and say, it was worth it all. It was worth it all. Praise the name of Jesus. Shall we pray? In the midst of our doubt and confusions, God, may you be our strength. In the midst of the times that we lose our way, we don't know who we are, we lose our focus, lose our goals, and we get involved in things that we'd rather not be involved in, pray that God, you may still be merciful to us. Pray that today, Lord, you may rekindle that flame within us, O God. Rekindle that flame of hope. Where hope has gone, where we have been in a situation for too long, and you've accepted that this is maybe the way it's supposed to be. Rekindle that flame, oh God, in us. Remind us who we are. Remind us when you spoke to us. remind us when it was prophesied of our lives. That God, we may be still in our moment and allow you to be God once again in our lives to fight our battles. Minister to us, Lord. Not just now in the church. Not just as we go to our homes. But even as we face the week tomorrow, the other days coming, speak to us that we may continue recover the person who we are supposed to be as your children, as people who fear you, as people who are called by your name, as people that you have blessed with a blessing that could only have come from above. And when these battles come, oh God, remind us that we are not alone. We may not have the answer right now, but we know in the end, you will be there. We thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Let it be a seed in our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.